There's a fascinating medrash, not about Parsha Zachar per se, in the three psukim in the end of Kitetze, but about the war with Amalek itself. And it reminds me of a story that emerged about 12 years ago, not in the most recent Aza skirmish or war, but in the previous one, in the mid-2000s, I think it was 2006. But first, the medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu ascends the mountain. Hine anochi nitzav in Parshas Bishalach al Rosh HaGiv'ah. Now his positioning on the top of the mountain is strategic and understandable for two reasons. Firstly, because he wants to daven, and the word nitzav is a language of davening, vayishyatzev im mosham. Where better to daven than atop the mountain? But in addition, because his hands raised in tefillah will remind the Jewish people of their military dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah acclaims, V'chi yadav shel Moshe osos milchama osharos milchama kol zman sheyu Yisrael nusnim aleim nusim enem shevashamayim. Every time they lifted their eyes after his hands in anticipation and dependency to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the war advanced a little bit more favorably and triumphantly. But the Medrash attributes a third reason to Moshe's ascent upon the top of the mountain, the top of the plateau. Moshe was reminding himself that this war would be triumphed and victored not only through tefillah, and not only, of course, through military application and pragmatic military investment and exercises, but through Schus Avos and Schus Imahos. The Rosh is a reference to Bilam, referring to the Jewish people as Me Rosh Tsurim Arenu. I see them from the top of cliffs. Umigvaos, and from the plateaus Ashurenu. So Bilam sees them from the cliffs where he is standing, but Chazal sense that Bilam is referring to the founders of this people, both the males and females, both the Avos and the Himos, by the cliffs and the plateaus, the Rosh Tsurim and the Gvaos. And it's interesting that the Avos and the Himos are compared to mountains. It's an image that recurs or resurfaces often in Medrash, where the Kol Dodin Ezebam Midaleg Al Harim Hashem accelerated the pace of Gula and Mitzrayim, coming bounding over the mountains, Midaleg Al Harim Mekapetz Al HaGivaos. Chazal also read it into Shir HaMalos Esayinai El HeHarim, perhaps a bit of the play on words between Harim and Horim, parents, predecessors, ancestors. But it's possibly not just a visual, but also almost a topographical or ecological element to this. Because mountains really do shape, in many fashions, they shape the weather patterns and the climate of the valleys below. So they're not just higher, more imposing and more accomplished. We look up to them in a literal sense. But they really shape our lives, the water, the mudslides, the rocks, the fog, the winds, barriers to the sea, creating fog. There's an activism to nature that the mountains, especially mountains on the sea cliffs, on the sea barriers, mountains in general, they deeply influence the valleys below in a way that the valleys don't always influence the mountaintops. So there's an impact and a shaping. It's very similar to the way in which our Avos shaped our history and determined our history. Now, what's interesting about this is that Moshe ascends his own mountain, not just because the Avos are and the Imos are compared to mountains, but because he wants to see beyond. Mountains afford vision, distant vision, the ability to see beyond context, beyond your current location. And that's historical consciousness that Moshe Rabbeinu delivers to this war and to his tefillos. That he casts this war, because the war seems like an isolated skirmish by a nomadic tribe exploiting a feeble and vulnerable people, robbing them of their wealth, raping their women, exploiting their weak. Moshe knows this isn't just some random nation. This is Amalek, grandson of Esav. Their attack on the Jewish people is not just an attack on a migrating or pilgriming nation, but it's an attack on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of Hashem as represented by Am Yisrael. And that the struggle which the Avos and the Emaos launched very much is still in play, is still being sustained. And he's able to see beyond. The spears may look different than they looked hundreds of years ago, and now there are chariots and horses, and who knows what type of weaponry has evolved, and the dress is different, and the language is different, and those old tent-based struggles between Yaakov and Esav have been replaced by warfare in the desert. But the externals may look different, but the core of the issue remains the same. He has that historical conscience to gloss his modern reality with a prophetic, and in this case a biblical or pre-Har Sinai element. And that's why he climbs up mountains, not just to remind himself that our Avos and Emaos are compared to mountains, but he's able to see beyond the particular context that sometimes imprisons the vision of so many people. And reading this Medrash as I prepared for Parsha Zohar reminded me of a story, a very similar story to this Medrash. A couple of years ago, about 12 years ago, there was a story proliferating about a strange, mysterious, turban-clad woman who was mysteriously appearing to the Jewish soldiers in Gaza and warning them against entering booby-trapped homes that they weren't aware of. And as soon as she warned the soldiers, she disappeared. And mysteriously she reappeared and warned them about additional homes. And at some point the soldiers asked her, "Who are you?" And she responded, "I'm Rachel. Rachel Imenu, and I'm coming to warn you about dangers you can't see." I remember at that time being asked the question, is this story true? And my response was as follows. I said, if you believe the story simply because soldiers retold this tale, then you're naive, because even atheists become believers in a foxhole and soldiers tell tall tales. But if you can't believe that a story like this can happen, then you're an unredeemable skeptic, because there's a world beyond empiricism and beyond human ration. But to me, the more important takeaway was not whether factually it occurred, but that was perception of the soldiers told this story and saw this reality, and perception is reality. And that even secular soldiers had a sense this wasn't an international skirmish about a border war and a border disagreement, but this was still the war of Rachel and the war of our Avos and Imaos, and that she was joining us in this stand to position ourselves as HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to, something that took place thousands of years ago with tents and camels and sheep and goats, and now is occurring with tanks, not tents, and mines and bombs and underground tunnels. So while the external, so many people have a hard time connecting modernity to antiquity and modernity to prophecy and to the book of Tanakh, and to be able to read our own lives in this prophetic loss is crucial. And Moshe sets the tone by ascending mountains, both visually to see beyond and also to remind himself of our Avos compared to mountains.